Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm just going to say, I know we've been worshiping and praising, but I'm just going to take a minute before I do anything or say another word, and I just want to praise Jesus. And thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you are. We do lift our eyes, Father, and fix them firmly upon thee, Lord. We pray this morning, God, and with every breath, with every day, with all of our days, Lord, you are the author and the finisher, right? You're the one, God, you're our Savior, Jesus. And so we just thank you. We do praise you for this morning and for everyone that's here. We do pray, Holy Spirit, that you have your way fully and that you speak and move as you will, God, and feed us with your word and by your spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to some new faces, praise God, and to those that we know well. I'm going to start. We're going to be, as you saw up on your overhead, we've been going through the book of Acts on Wednesday evenings. We've been going through what we call a journey through the book of Acts. We're sort of journeying with the apostles along that. It's been very powerful. And if you haven't done that, we're really going literally just about line by line. And if you haven't done that, I just encourage you to do so. Read the book many times, but it's really wonderful to really go slow. And I know myself, and I pray that all of us are getting a lot out of that. But I actually had a different message prepared, but I felt God saying to share from the book of Acts this morning. And actually, when Pastor Ryan was here, I believe he preached out of the same passage in Acts chapter 16. But before we go there, I'm going to just share a word that was spoken by Peter that I felt God saying it as I was preparing this message. So it's not really part, well, it is. It certainly pertains to our message. But this is in 2 Peter 1, verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and our and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything that we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. The New King James translates that word goodness as virtue, and that very much pertains to our message this morning. It says, though through these he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. That's a lot. It's rich. But can you say amen? Amen. And so we're going to be talking this morning, looking at the life of the apostles and Apostle Paul and Silas in chapter 16. When we get there, that's where he was imprisoned for the first time. Paul was imprisoned for the first time. But we're going to be talking about having confidence in Jesus, knowing who he is, and walking in full assurance. As we look at the life of the apostles and the Apostle Paul, and we can see and reflect on that and bring that into our own walks, having confidence. Is it on? Confidence in our call, and also taking note of the motivations of our heart. Is it on? Or no? You need a new battery? Okay, amen. Again, taking note of the motivations that are in our hearts and seeing from above, from God's perspective. You remember when Pastor Al was here, you remember he stood up on the chair and gave us a great illustration of that. And as the apostles, and you're called to be also witnesses of Christ and fulfilling are in your calling, walking in a manner that's worthy of the calling, and being those who inherit the promises. As a key theme, we're going to be looking at the importance and the power of authenticity in our walks, which is something we see so vividly in the apostles. The definition of authenticity, it means undisputed origin, genuine. Similar words are actual, bona fide, true, legitimate, right? How important is that? But anyway, just that was just a slight introduction. As we go to, we're going to be going to, again, the book of Acts in chapter 16. I said a lot of that already. You know, as you know, when you go through the book of Acts in the beginning, they proclaimed with boldness, as my mother said, the word of God, and going, preaching the gospels as God was transitioning and releasing the gospel to the Gentiles, and they were responding and walking in that calling, and the church, the early church, was established and flourished, right? Amen. And you know the very that they were gathered in one place in one accord, and you see that unity of spirit throughout the book of Acts, and the Holy Spirit fell multiple times. And of course, when we think of the book of Acts, often we think of signs and wonders, right? The great and unusual miracles that God did through the apostles and through the apostle Paul. But again, just as we are doing on our Wednesday night focus that God called, was really, we all want to see those things, the miracles, the signs, the wonders, as God affirms and confirms the word and the gospel message that's being preached, right? But we've been looking and really taking a look at the life of the apostles, their inner, their hearts, their motivation, their passion, their commitment, their steadfastness of faith in all things, in all situations. They never relented. They never changed, always preaching, sharing, pleading the pristine gospel of Christ as Savior, Messiah, the message of repentance, and just urging and beckoning those to turn to him to be saved and baptized. And we see, again, striking examples of the authenticity of their faith. And we're going to be looking at what we can glean from that and apply to our own lives. Jesus, of course, is our perfect model, right? Jesus is the one. He's the author, the finisher. He is the perfect example of whom we are to follow. As followers of Christ, we're to fix our eyes firmly upon him. We're called and commissioned by Christ to testify of him, to share the gospel, to make disciples and be a witness. Scripture also exhorts us to take notice of, to observe, and to imitate those who inherited the promises through faith. In Hebrews 6:11, it says, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. You know, in this walk that we've been doing through the book of Acts, again, I've really benefited. I do pray others have. But one thing that has really been jumping out at me and just burning in my heart more so than ever before, again, is just hearing the purity of the heart of the apostles. They preached with all boldness, right? And they made no apologies and spoke the truth and some hard things. But what's so burning and resonating in me is you can hear it, no matter whether they were speaking or preaching or confronting the Pharisees or the Romans or whoever. It's all with a heart so driven for them to come to the saving knowledge of Christ. So not coming and beating with religion or this or that, but you can just hear it and you can feel it. And again, that's just something that has been so powerful to me during this slow journey through the book. You know, and again, their steadfastness of faith in any and all circumstances, and that pristineness of their heart and motive in any and all circumstances. whether they were being beaten or threatened or whatever, they're still, their heart's plea was to that they those see that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the one, and the beckoning for them to repent and come to him. So many such vivid examples. I've always loved Stephen. Everybody knows who Stephen is. He appears in the book of Acts. He was a young, vibrant man of God, full of the passion of the Lord, full of the purity and faith in Christ. And I won't go through that whole story, but as you know, Stephen was stoned as he was preaching the gospel, right? Saul of Tarsus at that time held the coats, right, of those that were stoning him to death. But what a powerful testimony. Talk about under duress. Talk about to the end. It says that he, as they were doing that, he fixed his eyes. He saw Jesus at the right hand of the Father, and he said, "Lord, do not account this against them." Talk about a witness, okay? Talk about a testimony, and talk about authenticity, not just of faith, but of the motivation of the heart. So powerful. So, so powerful. You know, I think of Peter, you know, and we talked about this a lot on Wednesday, you know, when Pastor Mac mentioned the vision that came down where God was revealing to Peter that he wanted him to now share the gospel with the Gentiles, that the gospel is not just for the Jews, but open to all. And the Lord put a vision in front of him, right, with a sheet coming down with unclean and clean animals. And he did it 3 times to establish that this is him saying that, and to give Peter the message again that he shows no partiality, that the gospel is for all and not to call unclean what God has called clean. But the immediate response of Peter, that was a big trend. Like, we can read that, but that's a big deal for Peter. That's a big transition. But he responded like this, and you see him going right next chapter to paragraph to the house of Cornelius and preaching again the pristine gospel without compromise, without excuse. And the Holy Spirit, it says, while he was still speaking, the Holy Spirit came down in that house and salvation broke out, right? We know the church at Antioch was flourishing as they went and shared the gospel. Then we see, again, the radical gripping of Saul of Tarsus by the Holy Spirit, by God, right? And his very dramatic transformation, but his response, right? His response was pure, without questioning, immediate, strong, and that, again, that is a big transition. But anyway, that all just leading up to again, those are some examples of authenticity, of faith, and the message. You know, as they did preach, you know, there was much opposition. There were those that received, but we know they were beaten, right? They were in prison. There was a lot of opposition, but again, their message never changed. The compelling of their faith that creates the vessel that which God can move so powerfully through is evident in what we've been really looking at when I felt God in our classes saying, this is what I want you to look at, right? Because miracles, signs, and wonders follow after who? They what? They follow after them that believe. They follow after, right? And so believing isn't always just, oh, God, I believe you, I have faith. But it's seen in our actions. It's seen in the authenticity of our faith, right? So those things flow naturally. They flow naturally. You can't even keep them out in a life that's lived in this manner. And God then confirming the word that was preached, confirming the gospel that was preached so clearly by his power, by the falling of his spirit, and by the moving through miracles, signs, and wonders. But all that is a leading up to, so chapter 16, we're going to go there and sort of walk through and glean some powerful instances of all this and things that we might look and apply to our own lives. This is the first time that Paul is imprisoned. And this particular instance is following when the Apostle Paul commanded the spirit of divination out of the girl, a young female slave, remember, who was following behind them as they preached, saying, these are men of God preaching to you the gospel of salvation, servants of the Most High, telling you the way that you must be saved. And she, it says she kept this up for many days. And finally, Paul was so annoyed in his spirit that he turned around and he said to her, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the spirit left her. So Paul had discernment. What she was saying was right words, right? But he knew the spirit was a spirit of divination. And that spirit of divination, you can read a little bit, it's really a spirit of Python. That he was in the midst of a Greek culture there that worshipped all kinds of gods, and they believed that that spirit predicted the future and had fortune-telling capabilities. And so the Apostle Paul not only discerned that spirit, but what troubled him deeply as well was the fact that people were looking to that and looking to her for the answers that only God can provide. And so he cast that spirit out of her. In verse 19, it says, and when her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. It says, then the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. And when they had severely flogged them, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. We saw that, you know, when you look at the book of Acts, every time there's opposition, you see a sentiment rise up that is a surefire way to stir up not just challenges for them, but that those in authority, whether it be the Pharisees or whether in this case the Romans, where their power is threatened or whether it's shown or trying to be accused of breaking laws and causing up unrest. So it's really a surefire way of dealing that with them, if you will. But you know, the real problem here, the real issue, was that the owner of this slave girl, the owners were losing their ability to make a profit from her. So they did this as a means of making sure the authorities would you know, lock them up. They knew what would happen, basically. In verse 25, verse 25, it says, and about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And then suddenly there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when they saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself, we're all here. You know, in some notes that we're going to talk about more in a bit, you know, the prisoners were listening. That word listening says listening with pleasure to the sweet sound of the worship and praise that was going on. Now, again, we want to really reflect. So this is no joke what just happened here. You know, sometimes we can have some challenges in life, but if we try to think about this and how we might apply, these men were just beaten with rods. They were stripped. Now, they're now imprisoned in the inner jail, in stocks and chains. They're bleeding, and they're there worshiping and praising God. And the others are hearing, not only the others that are there hearing them, but, you know, they've heard of this movement. They've heard of Paul and Silas. They've heard of the apostles, and what a powerful testimony that is. to see again the authenticity of their worship and their praise and faith in God. Now, the prison guards would have also been in earshot. We know they had fallen asleep, but it said, suddenly the earth shook in an earthquake such that it shook the prison doors, loosing the bond, and all were free. Though Paul and Silas were free to escape, they didn't. They would have known that the prison guard would have had to be killed. If you're guarding a prison and the prisoners get away under your watch, that was typically the punishment for that. So verse 29 says, the jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? How powerful is that? How powerful is that? What must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. At that hour of night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. And immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. So, of course, we see a salvation happen here, but you see the power of the authenticity. Why did the prison guards throw themselves on the ground and say, what must I do to be saved? You know? Why? Because of the authenticity, because he knew if these men who have just been beaten, stripped, and they're chained against the wall, not knowing what their outcome might be, that they're worshiping and praising their God. And how many know, you can rest assured that the Holy Spirit filled that place, right? It says they were listening with delight. The other prisoners were listening with delight, being filled with peace. The Holy Spirit came. This is evidence. This is tangible evidence of the gospel message which they had been preaching. And they went from being imprisoned and the guard guarding them to now him cleansing their wounds, taking them into his own home. The prison guard taking them into his own home. The entire house gets saved. He's feeding them, right? How powerful. Now it says, in verse 35, when it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, release these men. And the jailer told Paul, these magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace. But Paul said to the officers, they beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now they want to get rid of us quietly? He said, I don't think so. No, let them come themselves and escort us out. Now, you know, why they didn't know they were Roman citizens, Paul was born in Tarsus, so he was a Roman citizen. But, you know, whether they were too busy beating them up or chaining them or whatever, it never came out. But they found that out. And by law, Roman citizens are protected against any of that. It was against the law to do that. It says in the next verse, the officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. Yep, I bet they were, because now they're in trouble. And they came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. And it says, after Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house where they met with the brothers and sisters, encouraged them, and then they left. But you know, I was reading a bit more in the commentary, you know, and so not only is it that Paul didn't want to just slip away, but he's also concerned about making sure if they had done that, if they had just slipped out, it gives the appearance, or could give the appearance, that they had in fact done something wrong. So his true motivation is protecting, once again, the gospel message. Again, fixing his eyes as flint and making sure there is nothing, no reproach, no nothing that could cause doubt or anything over the message that they're preaching. Why? For the salvation of others, for fulfilling the call in Christ. So they're willing to endure anything. So again, that's a powerful piece. And I just, that's just all so powerful. We, like I said before, we can have a tendency when we look at the book, occurrences in the book of Acts, to focus on getting excited about the miracles. I guess the transformation that God is wanting us to do is to get excited about the opportunity to have the authenticity of Christ in us, to allowing him to conform us to such a place where we could be like this. I was thinking about that. Maybe we'll do that song at the end when we're having our, you know, that his love never fails. I was almost, can you picture singing that chained against, the, right, it, in any circumstance? Because we can. We can. So how can we apply all of this to our own lives? And what is God saying to us? And, you know, I pray that none of us are ever jailed, beaten, imprisoned, all of that, you know. But we don't know what life holds. But even we can take that, this might be what we think of as an extreme example, but we can look at this. Do you ever do that? I do that. I do that. Sometimes I do. It's important to sit ourselves down and say, Lord, you know, we live before an audience of one. We don't, you know, and God, what is my response? You know, what is the gauge and my motivation? You know, is it this pure? And allowing God to bring that transformation. And seeing the importance of that too. I mean, so powerful, right? This is a classic message that's given to show the impact on others, right? So let's take that to heart, the impact on others. Of course, the prisoner, the prison guard, he was radically impacted and saved, his whole household. But this is just a continuing progression of the authenticity of their walks and the message going forward that continued to fan the flame of the growth of the church and the testimony of Christ, the validity of that, which is so important in this culture and in this time, as it is today. So one of the aspects of application I have is the revelation of and confidence in Christ ourselves, right? You know, in Matthew 16, 15, 18, Jesus said to the disciples, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, for this reason, this is the Apostle Paul now speaking to Timothy, his son in Christ, really. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Having confidence in our calling. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, those who are called according to his purposes. For whom he foreknew, he predestined and he to be conformed into the image of Christ, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, he predestined those that he called, whom he called, those he also justified, and to whom he justified, those he also glorified. Galatians 2:26 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Can we take these to heart in the midst of all circumstances? Right? Can we profess this and have this confidence in the Lord no matter what our circumstances, no matter what our situation is? I'm just going to take, you ever do the webinars and they do the little poll? I'm going to do a little poll on the spot. How many here know somebody that you can point to? There's probably more than one. I have them. That, you know, Christ is my Savior. He's Him who I look to. But their model of faith and faithfulness through the years speaks to me, no matter what they've gone through. How many have someone like that, that you have seen faith in action, right? And that was important in your walk. Amen. Poll close. Okay. You know, the other piece of application, as Pastor Al was talking about and had been a few times when he's come, was seeing from God's perspective, seeing from above. You know, one transformation I know I've been taking to heart a lot. You know, we just continue to grow in God. We've never arrived, right? We all know that. And no matter where we are, we can go deeper in these things. But really seeing from God's perspective. We talk to a lot and meet a lot of people who come, and all of us. You know, we have struggles in life or things that are challenging to us. Even can be challenging to our faith, right? Not to our faith in God, but just in this, that He's going to work all things together for good. But how powerful is it, and how do you know that the apostles, right, they saw from God's perspective. They saw all things, no matter what was happening, no matter where they're being sent, no matter what the opposition, it's pristine. They're calling in Christ to share the gospel for men and women to come to the saving knowledge of Christ from above, right? Right? If I live, I live to Christ. If I die, I die to Christ, right? Amen. They saw it that way. And can we do that? Can we bring that into our lives? Because it will transform. I've had a measure of that, but I want to go deeper in that because that completely transforms how we look at just about everything. Just about everything. And God bears fruit through that. God's anointing is on that, right? God's anointing is on that, and the Holy Spirit bears fruit through that witness. And when we can see it that way, there's such power in that. And it's just the fragrance and the aroma of Christ and the power of God as we're living epistles for others and bringing the authenticity, right? That's demonstration of the authenticity of our faith. Right? Our home is in heaven. we serve the eternal God. Jesus Christ is forever at the right hand of the Father. Nothing can take me from His hand. Nothing. No power, no principality. In this world we will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for He's overcome the world. Lo, I am with you always. Even unto the end. Even unto the end. Whatever that end is, if it's this afternoon or if it's 50 years from now, we pray that we might serve Him longer. But that changes everything, right? It changes everything. And it can strengthen us in a way as they were strengthened, that they're in a prison worshiping and praising God. Yes, you can do that. Yes, I can do that. I know I hesitate, but we would be doing that. And you can be doing that. Anyway, so seeing from above, being living epistles, the light of Christ, I know. Someone was singing about the light of Christ this morning. He's the light of the world, and He's called us to be light, salt, and light, right? He's put that light, the Holy Spirit, in you to shine. So again, whether in big things or what we might think as small things, how many know sometimes what we think as small things are not small at all? They are not small. And the authenticity of your faith, the authenticity of your walk, the authenticity of your heart and motivation and willingness to endure whatever. Maybe it's something not so hard, or maybe something it's kind of hard for the sake of the message of Christ and for the sake of being usable to God and anointed of God to bring that message. I guess I have a few minutes. I put in my notes that this is certainly not remotely a difficult situation, but I'm just going to share a little testimony of that shows maybe what we might consider a little thing, you know. I walk my dog often where we live. There's a lot of people where we live now. Roger and I are in a holding pattern before we buy a house and an apartment complex. And, you know, we're really the minority there, right? You know, God's put a real love for people, and I get to meet and be around all kinds of people of all kinds of ethnicities and faith and everything. And you just know that God has, wherever you are, he has you there for a reason, right? So stop complaining, Kim, and God's timing is perfect. In the meantime, he has his purposes and plans. And when we walk by someone, that might be a little thing. That might not be in being imprisoned. But in God's eyes, that's not a little thing, right? If we're faithful in the little, God can trust us with the much. If our heart is right in the little, then our heart will be right in the much. But anyway, nonetheless, there's a few people that will walk by me at times, and I really feel the gripping of God big time. And I know he's saying, pray. And I know he's saying, be available should the time present itself. And this one, I think I was coming back from church. My Bible, I have my study Bible. It's, you know, big and stuff. I'm getting the mail. And this really, really precious couple comes through the door who I'd never seen before. And I really haven't seen them since. I would like to, but I haven't. But anyway, I immediately, when they stuck their head through the door, I immediately felt the Holy Spirit saying, slow down, talk to them. I was in a rush, I was. And I had my Bible. And the man, it was a husband and wife couple, young. He said, oh my gosh. He said, I've been hoping to bump into you. I said, really? I've never seen them before. He goes, I've seen you walking your dog. I said, oh, yeah. And I had gotten my dog. Somehow I had my dog with me. And he goes, can I just ask you where you got him, you know, et cetera. And I see all the while his wife kind of looking at my Bible, then looking at me, looking at my Bible, looking at me, because they're clearly of another faith and another, you know, very different. We're very different cultures and all that. And looking at me and like, is she going to talk to us? Or I don't know about this one here. She's got the Christian Bible there. But anyway, we had a lovely conversation. And so the young man, he said, oh, you know, I've been wanting to see your dog. And can I ask you where did you get him? And, you know, our dog's a rescue. And I can tell you it was a God orchestration that little dog came to us. That is the answer. He's like, oh, I want one just like yours. And we don't know where to find one. Can you tell me? And I had to say, I said, well, he's a rescue dog. He's like, oh, where did you get him from? And I told him. And he's like, well, do they have any more? You know, and I said, well, they have what they have, you know. But I said, he's like, well, how did you come to get him? And I said, well, I could tell you. I said, well, God really connected us up. And I won't take the whole time, but he really did. And he looked so sad because he's just in love with the dog. And I said, well, you know, he's like, I'd really like to know how to get this exact kind of dog. I said, well, you can ask God, you know. God knows all the details, and we can pray, and he'll bring the desire of your heart. You know, I didn't get to share the gospel, but I have my Bible. They see a Christian. They see someone who will pause and have kindness in their heart and talk to them and share a measure, you know, and just share a measure. So that's not a big thing, but in God's eyes, I know he was watching. I know he was. I know he was. And so that's a seed, okay? And that's also an opening for someone of another faith to have a beginning of a relationship with a Christian, right? So little thing, but not a little thing in God's eyes. But to the point of authenticity, yeah, not a big thing. Not a big thing. But had I been too busy to talk to them, right, or afraid to talk to them, or, you know, being a little bit like, I don't know that we should be hanging out. There's a nice testimony blown, right, as I carry my Bible, right? So anyway, little thing, so we can take the principles of all of these things and apply them to our life, again, whether they're big things or little things. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, well, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I pray that whatever minor seed was sown there, that God breathes on it and continues to breathe on it for an eternal seed in the young couple's life, whether through me or anybody else, or him just sovereignly coming and opening their heart. Another application is in fulfilling our call. You know, you look at the apostles, and they, life or death, right? Life or death, it mattered not. It was the calling and fulfilling the calling that Christ had called them to. And we want to be those people, right? You were born for a purpose. I'm during worship this morning, God, I sometimes, you know, I'm praying, oh God, anoint the message, all this stuff. You know what he showed me? He showed me a picture of me as an infant. He said, before this, I knew you. Before that picture, I knew you, and I made you with my own hands, and I loved you then. That's what he showed me during worship. But anyway, you have a calling. He called you then. You have a calling. You have a holy calling in God. Some people, you know, sometimes we can be like, oh, well, you know, that's the apostles. Or even and when we think about following Jesus, some people say, well, yeah, but that was Jesus. No, God says you're called with a holy calling. You are called with a holy calling. He has his hand on you. He put his spirit inside of you. You are called with a holy calling. Whatever that calling is, God does not see as men see. He does not. Whether it's big or little, what we see in our eyes, you have a holy calling. You know, I think I'm just going to liken quickly back to Stephen as we're sort of coming to a close here. Stephen, as they were stoning him to death, young man, full of the gospel, full of the heart, full of the spirit, on fire to see lives saved, and he's being stoned to death, and he sees Jesus at the right hand of the Father. He's looking right at him, looking at him. That life there might not have made sense that it would be done then, but he fulfilled his calling. Amen. To the end, right? To the end. Powerful, powerful. So we want to fulfill our calling. God wants you to fulfill your calling. He wants you to have our eyes, us, all of our eyes, fixed firmly upon Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, to touch and impact those around you who he has knowledge of and ordained for all of your life. Many years ago, you know, again, taking time for the one, whether it's one or multitudes, the multitudes are made out of many ones. And so, God, don't ever underestimate when the one life that you reflect Christ to or shine or share him in some way. The multitudes are made out of many ones, and God wants us to see that way. You know, I mean, again, you know, they're imprisoned. They were in physical pain. They were in physical pain. And, of course, I mean, I don't know that they were afraid or not. I don't see them as being afraid from what I see of them. But, you know, 2 Timothy 1, 7-11 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. It says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me," this is Paul speaking again, "in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us," again, "with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purposes and grace, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." His calling, his grace, his purpose. His purpose is the best purpose for your life. Colossians 9:16 says, "Take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you might fulfill it." I'm just going to read through some more scriptures here. Colossians 1:10 speaks of walking worthy of the calling of the Lord. fully pleasing to him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Lord, to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Again, always fixing our eyes on Jesus, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has now sat down at the right hand of the Father on the throne of God. I'm going to read one more scripture as we close, and then I'm going to just share a little something that I found interesting that I think will help all of us, or the timing of it was interesting. But 1 Peter 1:6-7 says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. It says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Christ, whom having not seen, you see. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." We can live in that place. We can live in that place. We can live in that place. The fullness of joy in Christ is not contingent on anything in this earth. Nothing. 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 And the picture of the apostles in chained against the wall in prison, that's just one example. We could go through the Bible, and there are many, but that's just a vivid example, case in point. You, I, all of us can live in that place with the Lord, and you want to, and your life will be so fruitful, so fruitful. How many want to be fruitful on the earth in this day? Come on, come on. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged, right? We look and we see the darkness. The light shines the brightest in the darkness. You are called for such a time as this. Esther could have caved too, but she saw what was happening, right? Her people had a decree to be destroyed. She could have caved and crumbled, but she said, "My gosh, for such a time as this, I have been called. I've been called, I've been placed here." You know, she didn't necessarily choose to be in the palace, but she found herself there. And look at the place in Christ that you are and say, "For such a time as this, for such a time as this." Looking at it differently, looking at it from God's perspective, fulfilling the call. What did Esther say? If you know, she said, "Whether I live or die, whether I live or die, I'm fulfilling that call. It matters not. It matters not." Amen. Because to die is to be present with the Lord, right? Can we live in that place? Can you? Can we see what God is trying to do in us? He's not saying it's going to be all gloom and doom. He's not saying that, but he's saying, "See from my perspective. See your life from my perspective, and you won't live the same." Yes, we'll feel sadness. Yes, those kind of things. But you will see differently. And as Stephen, you can see Jesus at the right hand of God, right? You can see him, and your life will bear the presence of God, the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit. As just like when Peter, it says, while Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell. You won't have to be trying to whip it up and say, "Oh, Lord, come." He will be there. He will be there when you open your mouth, if you're proclaiming the gospel and the truth and reflecting him from the pure motivation of your heart, his Holy Spirit will be there, just like it was with that young couple. I didn't say, "Oh, Lord, Holy Spirit, come." Don't come, Lord, you know. No, he had already orchestrated that because he said, "You know what, I know my kid Kim, she's going to handle this. I'm going to orchestrate this. I want to shine my light. I want to show them my kindness as an opening to their heart." Amen. So just happenstancely, I think I can take a couple more minutes. I just want to leave you with some tools or myself. I just happened to be going through some Christian materials about growing in God and being all this. And they had something right exactly at this last week that were character audits. Christian character audits. authenticity measures. And they weren't, they were audits of a lot of these things. You know, am I a devout person whose life is pleasing God? And it wasn't just yes or no, to what degree, right? Am I a person of integrity? Sorry, I want to look at... Do I hold firmly to the faith? Again, not yes or no, to what degree? And being honest, this is a self-reflection thing, okay? Am I not self-willed? Do I have a good reputation with God and man? You know? Am I not seeking personal gain? Is my motivation truly for others? And again, not yes or no, but to what degree? And then with all of those, it's how I see myself, but how do others, how do you think that others see these things in you? And again, it's an audit. And I see it as an audit of authenticity, and they're very good guideposts. They're not religious beating. They're like, all right, let's take this to heart. Just like we can say, let's think about that imprisonment. Let's see. And see, well, God, maybe next time I have a hardship, I'm not going to think of it quite the same way. God, this is probably a setup, or it's always a setup. You're always called to be shining your light. It's always a setup for you to reflect Christ. It's always a setup because there's always someone watching. There's always someone seeing, whether you know it or not, whether God orchestrates, okay, now's the time to talk, or they're just watching you, right? It's always a God setup when you're a believer. So amen, those are just, there was another audit, I'll just leave it this. It was a passion audit, and not passion, but passion for the gospel. Are you passionate for God? Do others see you as that? Because that's authenticity, right? Are you passionate for the Lord? Are you hot and not cold? How do you see yourself? How do others see yourself? Where do I need to grow in that? Well, anyway, amen. I know as Pastor Max said, you know, God does want to pour out his spirit. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Surely he carried our sin. Surely he carried our sicknesses. By his stripes we're healed. He carried our iniquity. That's the pristine message. We cannot save ourselves. He came as Savior. He is our Savior. Whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved, sozoed, healed, saved, delivered, and set free. Right? So as pastor, God wants to pour out his spirit. Of course he does. Of course he does. So I would... I don't know, Pastor, it's up to you, but I almost saw like the worship team doing, if they're willing, or maybe not, if we can do, that we come up and have a time, you know, whether you have need of healing, whether you have need of anything, or whether this message is hitting home and you're like, God, I just want to respond to you and say, yeah, I want to grow in these things. I want to shine. So maybe we can come up and do that.
What you see is God took ordinary men and women and did extraordinary things. And that takes God's perspective, seeing your life from God's perspective. You're not ordinary. Christ in you, the hope of glory, God's word says. And so the testimony about these men, and it should be our testimony, when they went before the authorities, when they were persecuted for speaking God's word, they said, these men have turned the world upside down. Upside down. And so, you don't have to go to Bible school. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing if God ordains that for you. But he doesn't necessarily use the most qualified. He uses those that make themselves available to him. See, that's the key. You just bring him what you have, and he uses it. He breathes upon it. And what you see in this powerful, emerging New Covenant, New Testament church is They prayed and the Holy Spirit moved. They prayed and they spoke with boldness. They prayed and signs and wonders took place. They dared to believe God's word and God's promises. And the Holy Spirit inhabited the moments, the ministry. And they didn't have to work it up. Oh, they didn't have to pray loud. They didn't have to pray long. They just had to say, in Jesus' name, be healed in Jesus' name. And that's what we're going to do this morning. Those of you who don't feel the need, please take your conversation to the lobby or make your way downstairs so we can have an atmosphere of quiet. But for those who want that prayer of faith this morning, especially for healing, but not exclusively so, I encourage you just to come up. And the rest of you, if you want to intercede quietly, but no conversation, you can take those things, you know, to the lobby or downstairs. And we're going to speak the word of God with boldness this morning. And believe what God told me yesterday, that he wants to release a healing surge. What does that mean? I don't know. But whatever it means, I want to be in the midst of it. I want to be obedient to that word. So God bless you. Let's allow God to have his way in our midst today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
can't control. Thank you. Thank you. let your glory come.
Can you mute me?